Then he comes back on his throne. And here, Ma'mun says, I ask my father, oh my father, who is this person? And why so much respect was given to him? He said, my son, these are the rightful owners of this throne. You know, they are the real Khalifa. This is the real Khalifa. This is the rightful person. So Ma'mun said, father, why don't you give him the throne then? He said, Ya Bunai, oh my son, beware, huh? If you are going to challenge me in this, I will take your eyes out. Or another version, I'll kill you. So this is the throne. This is the kingdom. Brings the greed. Brings it. There's no relation. There is no father and son. Ma'mun, he learned from his father that there is no ties when it comes to the kingdom. And when it comes to the power, there's no relation. The greed takes over. And he killed his brother Amin because they both were fighting on the Abbasid dynasty. Who will be the Khalifa? Amin was already the Khalifa and they fought and he killed. He learned this from his father. So basically, when it comes to the kingdom, now Ja'far saw that there was no heir. Ja'far saw that he was the only one available there. And there was a gap, then that was a motive for him to proclaim the imamate. Now let's see some background of Ja'far. Ja'far, the brother of Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was born, the brother of Imam Hassan al-Askari, sorry. He was born, people they were happy. Because when birth happens, people they are celebrating. Imam Ali al-Hadi was disappointed. He was not happy. He was upset. So they asked, one lady, she asked Imam Ali al-Hadi, why are you not happy, O master? He said, wait until you see that many will be deviated because of him. So Imam Ali al-Hadi knew that my son is going to go into different direction. And before the death of Imam Hassan al-Askari, before the death even, he was known. He was known to be a corrupted person. Imam Ali al-Hadi alayhi salatu wasalam gave instructions to his companions. Tajannabu, keep away from Ja'far. Don't associate with Ja'far. Another hadith, he is to me like Namrud, son of Noah. We all know that in the story of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his son was deviated. His son, when Prophet Nuh told him, come on inside the ark, he went into the highest mountain and he said, no, my father, I am going to go and secure myself on this highest mountain. And no, the flood cannot take me. The Prophet Nuh said that, La asima laka al-yawma min amrillah. Nothing is going to save you. Nothing is going to secure you from the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ali al-Hadi says that this is my situation. Because many times people say, Imam's son is deviated. Well, the Prophet's son was also deviated. So that's why he said that this is the situation. Namrud, and he recited the ayat of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and his son. And whenever people used to ask Imam Ali al-Hadi and Imam Hassan al-Askari, he used to tell them that he is a deviated person. So this is the background, the back history, and he used to associate with the spies of Bani Abbas, Abbasi dynasty. He used to get information from the house of Imam Hassan al-Askari and give it to them. Such kind of character, such kind of personality, how can the greed not overcome his soul and he be deviated? So after the death of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam, he started to, he did three things. Number one, he claimed that I am the Imam. And we can see him, he wants to lead the Salat Janaza on Imam Hassan al-Askari. Number two, he took over the wealth which was available in the house of Imam Hassan al-Askari. That was number two. He said, I am the heir. And number three, he started to whisper to the government about every small and big thing happening in the house of Imam Hassan al-Askari. These are the 3 points Sayyid Muhammad al-Sadr rahmatullah alayhi puts that these are the three obvious biggest crimes which Ja'far had committed. One of the things he did to get the imamate, and this is the silliest thing he did, or foolish act. What he did, he went to the government. He wants the help of the government so that the government accepts the rank and gives him, okay, Ja'far is now imam from the household of the Prophet. When he went to this wazir, the minister, to ask this, look what the minister says. And he says that I will give you guys 20,000 dinars every year. Just acknowledge my rank as I am imam of the Shia. So the government says, O fool, the ruler has fought all those who claim that your father and your brother were imams. You want from us? We want to wipe you guys out. And you want imamah from us? So if you were in between your father and your brother's followers, then you do not need the ruler's support. That means if your people acknowledge you, why do you want our support? And if you do not have such rank amongst them, then we are not in need of you. What will we do? If you are not acknowledged by your people, we don't want you. They want someone who's really known so that they can put that person under their armpit. But here, you are nothing. And you are coming from us to take the acknowledgement of the rank of imamah. And he kicked him out. He said, get out and I don't want to see your face anymore. So he was humiliated. See, this is the situation. Nowadays, many Muslims, they go and they ask help from weak people. These people, they by themselves need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in their guidance. So we go and we start becoming like wiping the shoes of these people. And oh, we need help, support us, we don't have power, you are the power. And what happens? Humiliation in front of these people who don't have any power, and humiliation in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَسَارَةُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ You went to take help from dunya, dunya rejected you. And you did not go to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to help you. What kind of embarrassment, what kind of awkward situation people they keep when they go and seek help from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the situation. This is an example that if you seek help from people who are wicked, people who are evil, nothing is going to come to you except humiliation. Period. In front of Allah and in front of those evil people. Another incident. Mu'tamad, the Khalifa. Now this Ja'far, he did not learn his lesson after being kicked out from the minister. He wants to go to the Mu'tamad, the Khalifa, the tyrant, now the big boss. And he comes to him and he says, I want your support. I want your support. Help me get this rank of imamah, you know. So look what Khalifa said. Let it be in your knowledge that the rank of your brother was not because of us, but because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know Imam Hassan al-Askari is Imam, and he is the rightful person because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's selection. And we are putting all our efforts to reduce his rank. What are you? We are trying all our efforts to reduce the rank of your brother and belittle him. Belittle him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dared to do that. And every day he used to elevate in his status because of what? Safeguarding religion, excellent behavior, knowledge, and abundance of worship. So if you have the same status in the eyes of your follower, of the followers of your brother, then you do not need us. And if you were not of such rank, and you did not have the qualities of your brother, then we cannot help you in anything. That's right. The Khalifa says, your brother, he achieved this rank by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By his piety, by his sincerity, by his devotion, by his dedication. And you are a corrupt, or you were a corrupted person. You are known in a community. Believe me, if the Abbasids, they will support them. The Abbasids, they will lose their credibility, if they have some credibility, because of supporting this person like Ja'far, who was known to be a corrupted person, immoral person, drinking liquor and wine in his before he claimed the imamah. So this kind of situation was for Ja'far. And then we come to another point. Of course, we mentioned that he took whatever wealth was there. But what about the wealth which was coming? People, they have homes, they have these religious funds, they want to surrender it to the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, or someone who is in the place of Imam. So what would they do? There is an example mentioned that Ja'far, when the grandmother of the 12th Imam ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif died, Ja'far, he took over the house, he took over everything. Now here, there was a will, wasiyah. The grandmother said that I want to be buried beside my husband, Imam Ali al-Hadi alayhi salatu wasalam. Here, Ja'far said, no, this house is mine. So here, Sayyid Muhammad al-Sadr said that there are several events where 12th Imam personally came direct face to face to Ja'far and telling him, do not do such. Why are you devouring our wealth? Why are you usurping our house? Why are you doing it? Several times. And Ja'far, somehow he got freaked out because Imam will pop up in his face and he will tell him, don't do that, and he will disappear. So this kind of act which was happening, it scared the hell out of Ja'far. But did he learn his lesson? No. He did not learn his lesson. What happened? A delegation from Qum came. Because the followers of Ahlul Bayt, they're all around different parts of Islamic territory at that time. So in Iran also, there are many followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. And there were representatives, even Al-Allama Al-Kulayni, if you have heard about Al-Kutub Al-Arba'a, four books of hadith, which the Shias have, for the first four compiled books of hadith. The first one was for Allama Al-Kulayni. Where was he from? From Tehran, from Al-Ray. Ibn Babaway Al-Qummi, Man La Yahdur Al-Faqih. Man La Yahdur Al-Faqih, Sheikh Saduq Al-Qummi, he was from Qum. So there were Ibn Babaway Al-Qummi also, he's author of another hadith. So there were Qummiyun that time. There was a good educational institute there of school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. There was a Hawza there. There was a Hawza in Qum. So what happened that these delegation from Qum, they came to visit Imam Hassan al-Askari. When they arrived Samarra, they asked about Imam Hassan al-Askari. They were told that Imam Hassan al-Askari has passed away. He died. They asked him, who's in the place of Imam Hassan al-Askari? They directed him towards Ja'far. Ja'far, these people, they came to Ja'far. And they ask about him. They say, Ja'far is enjoying, entertaining in a boat, you know, with few singers and here and there. So they said, this is not Imam. How can this be Imam? Let's go back. You know, we don't want to stay here. So, and we'll return all this wealth to the people. Because this was a delegation from Qum. People, they have surrendered them wealth, so that this wealth is surrendered to Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. So these people, they wanted, some of them, they said, no, let's see what's the story. Let's see and visit him. So when Ja'far comes, they go and visit Ja'far. They go and visit Ja'far. Here, Ja'far said, yes, how can I help you? He said, we want to see the Imam. He said, I'm the Imam. He said, we have some wealth. He said, where is it? He said, we have it. Bring it to me. He said, no. We have to ask you a few things. In the time of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam, when we used to bring these bags which were sealed with red, you have seen how they seal with red wax, and they stamp it and they write the names. So they, on those days, they used to do like that. So these bags were sealed, and they said that we have to ask you one thing. If you will tell us who gave us each bag and how much is in it and what is written on the seal, we will give it to you. He said, what are you trying to say? This is how Abu Muhammad al-Askari taught us. This is how we are used to. He used to tell us. So he said, you are claiming a ghaib on my brother. This is lie. What happened here? There was an argument. He took them where? To the Khalifa, Mu'tamid. He doesn't learn his lesson. He took them to the Khalifa. Oh Khalifa, this is our wealth, and these people, they are not surrendering it to us. Khalifa said, give it to them. Give it to Ja'far. They said, we don't have any problem. We are trusted messengers. We are Rusul. We have brought this amanat. We have trust. We don't have any problem. We ask him few questions. If he answers these questions, we will give it to him. So he said, Ja'far, did they offer you this question? Yeah, they are claiming ghaib on my brother and unseen. And he said, well, fulfill their request. They will give it to you. What's the problem? You know, they were used to it. They told them that we used to come to Abu Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and he used to treat with us the same way. He used to deal with us with the same way, and we used to hand him. And so here, the government also did not support him. Ja'far here became disappointed, because here also there, it was a big slap on his face. Why are you coming to this oppressor for help? What are they going to do? They're going to humiliate you more and more and more. You know? So this was the situation here. When Ja'far, when they left, these people, they were hopeless, disappointed. They were going to leave the gate of the city. A boy came, a young man came, and he said, Ajibu Mawlakum. Respond to your master. These people, they say, are you our master? He said, no. I am a servant of my master. Come to the master. My master is waiting for you. And he brings the delegation to the house of Imam Hassan al-Askari. When they entered the house, they saw a beautiful child wearing all this green attire, sitting on the couch in the middle of the majlis. They come in and they exchange the salams with the imam. And this was the 12th imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. He told them, I am your imam. How can I help you? These people, they said that we have money, we have amana, and we have to give them to the rightful person. He said, wait, let me tell you, who has given you each bag of money? And what is written on the seal? And how much he started to count dinar by dinar, dirham by dirham. After that, he did not stop that. He said, I'm going to tell you the attire of those people who were wearing when they gave you these bags. And what type of animals they have. And he described everything and it was as described. And then they gave him this money. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam told them, next time don't bring the money to Samarra. I'll appoint a representative in Baghdad, handle him, surrender him the money. And then after a while, Imam appointed someone who was the representative of Imam in Qom. So this is how Imam alayhi salatu wasalam saved the situation. And also, I know my time is running and I'll just mention one last thing. After this, what happened, Ja'far became disturbed, annoyed of this guy. He heard that the wealth was given to the 12th Imam. He whispered again to the government, there is a boy who's claiming that he's the heir of Hassan al-Askari and he's in the house. Immediately the government sent an army. They raided the house of Imam Hassan al-Askari, but with the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the 12th Imam was able to leave that place before they captured the Imam. And they captured the mother of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam and they tortured her, but she did the patience and sabr. And after 2 years, they released her because the Abbasi dynasty, they got into serious problems from the Turks and from the Mawali and all those kind of historical things which surrounded the Abbasi government at that time. They were not able to follow up with the situation of the 12th Imam. And after this time, the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam started to communicate with the people through his representatives. Here, one last thing, Sayyid Muhammad al-Sadr mentions that Ja'far, he was of course corrupted. He had immoral akhlaq. He was drinking liquor before even claiming the imamah. He was exposed when he claimed the imamah. He wanted to spray the salat al-janaza on Imam Hassan al-Askari. He was exposed by the 12th imam. And then he was denied from the government and humiliated. All these kind of things were factors of his exposure. And one more important document which destroyed him was the letter from the 12th Imam ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif by himself. The Imam alayhi salatu wasalam responded to a letter which was written by him. It's a long letter. Sayyid Muhammad al-Sadr, he has briefly mentioned the points which Imam has mentioned, and I'll also go through these points briefly. Number one, Imam says that how can an Imam make spelling errors? There were spelling mistakes. Imam is complete, perfect. He has perfection. How can an imam make foolish mistakes such as error in spelling? That is number one. Number two, the imams before him were all infallible. They were the most pious, most knowledgeable, most chaste people of their time. And they were distinguished by distinct properties and none could challenge them. Nobody could challenge the imam. And Ja'far lacks such properties. Ja'far is an ignorant of laws. Halal and haram, as simple as the times of salat. He doesn't know even the times of salat and the parts of salat. Imam reminds the people of his past intoxicated life and the immorality which he was famous and it was obvious to everyone. Imam challenges him to provide a sign, a proof, or an evidence that he is the imam. And Imam challenges him to accept the challenge of Ahmad son of Ishaq. Remember yesterday, one of those who saw the 12th Imam was Ahmad son of Ishaq. This letter was written from Ahmad son of Ishaq. Imam responds to Ahmad son of Ishaq and tells the people, tells him to show this letter to the people, because Imam had a signature. That signature was known by many of his followers that this letter is from the 12th Imam. And then Imamat, he says, Imamat is not in brothers except for Imam Hassan and Hussein alayhum as-salatu wasalam. Imamat is all in progenies, one after another. Only Imam Hassan and Hussein were brothers. So by this letter, this destroyed Ja'far and his conspiracy. After a few days, Ja'far repented. Ja'far repented, and he seriously retreated from all his sins and shortcomings, and he offered his apology, and this apology was accepted by the 12th Imam in a letter given to his representative, Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Amri. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam tells the people that his resemblance is as the resemblance of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they took Yusuf away from his father, they lied, they did conspiracies. So Imam alayhi salatu wasalam tells them that this is as same. He has repented, we have accepted his apology, and one comment here and I'm done. Why Imam Ali Salatu Wasalam, when Imam Ali al-Hadi said that my son is like Namrud, son of Nuh, that means he's deviated. When people, they are given this kind of title of deviation, how can they be repentant? Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab bin Watab. Perish are the hands of Abu Lahab. So Abu Lahab's hands were perished. So if this person was given a kind of prediction that he's going to go to the hell, that means that he's going to die of the death of deviation. When Imam Ali al-Hadi says that my son is like the son of Namrud who died the death of deviation, that means that there's no opening for repentance. Here the ulama say, no, why? Let's look into another incident in the Quran. In the Quran, the story of Prophet Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Yunus told them that after 3 days you are going to be perished. Adab is going to come to you. When Prophet Yunus left, they saw the adab coming, they repented, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. So Imam Ali al-Hadi said, yes, he is like, that means he's deviated. But if he repents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. So this is all about Ja'far, brother of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam, who claimed the imamah at the end. The tawqi' of Uthman ibn Sa'id or Muhammad ibn Uthman mentions that the imam forgave them. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue the representatives, because we know, we hear that there are representatives of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam four, but who are these? What was their lifestyle, history? Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us success, tomorrow we'll complete and continue the history of our beloved 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds and our fasting in this holy month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us among the loyal and sincere supporters of our beloved 12th Imam in his occultation and after his appearance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his appearance soon. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this month the month of peace, prosperity, dignity and faith for all the Muslims and peaceful human around the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all our marhumeen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the inspiration to learn from these blessed nights of holy month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahireen.